This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's Valentine's Day, February 14th, episode 850, brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. So good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you have somebody to snuggle with for Valentine's Day tonight. But if you don't, there's plenty of places you can go, right, Glenn? I mean, did you never had to do like the online dating?
I don't think I
want to
answer that.
I know you have somebody to snuggle with. It's Valentine's Day.
Can you rephrase the question, please?
No, because that's exactly kind of what I meant. There are other options for us, but I stopped myself in the midst of all of it because, you know, like you never did any online dating or anything like that, did you?
No.
Are you kidding?
When I met Jennifer, we didn't have internet. So, no.
You're aging yourself, Glenn.
Well, you know, I wrote it on Jennifer's Facebook this morning. I figured it out. We have spent 28 Valentine's Days together.
Oh, my gosh. That's a happy Valentine's Day. At this point, a picture for my future marriage. Is 28 Valentine's Day, is it special anymore? Or is it like, here's your flowers, or here's your card? Or do you go like all out and try to do something even extra special for each other?
I think it's in the middle there, don't you, Jennifer? It's kind of, you're in the middle somewhere. Plus, you know, the other thing is we spend every day all day together, so it's not like we never see each other. Like, your husband goes off to work, and, you know, you only see him part of the week. So, you know, it's a little different for us because we see each other every day, and if we want to take time off to go have lunch together, we just do.
Do you guys still like each other after all that?
Apparently.
I guess so. Y'all
happy Valentine's
crazy.
Day,
almost,
sweetie. That was meant
She's
to
like,
my wife.
Yeah, suck it. Yeah, I know. You're welcome, sweetie. Happy Valentine's Day to you, too. No, so it is definitely one of those days where, you know, I have been single so many Valentine's Days. And I was that girl who guys would break up with like 2 days before Valentine's Day. So they didn't have to get you a present. You know, I've been that girl. I have been her. And if you need any sort of advice or you want to talk to somebody about it, you just email me. Because pretty much, if it can happen, it has happened to me in the dating world. So it's nice to have a husband for this Valentine's Day, I must admit.
Well, you know, if you live in the Northeast, some of you may not get the flowers that were ordered for you, and there'll be a lot of husbands that are in trouble because I read an article yesterday that because of the big storm, a lot of the florists did not receive their orders they get them shipped a lot of times by UPS and stuff of the roses. They never got to the flower shops. So a lot of flowers will not be delivered today.
You're going to be so mad, the rest of the world, because I got my flowers yesterday. They were delivered yesterday. Chad and I have this agreement, like, don't pay extra to have them delivered on Valentine's Day, either day before or day after. But he got smart, did the day after. And they sat outside of the farm, and it was like 90 degrees yesterday, and they wilted. It's so hot.
I'm off the hook for flowers. I can't get Jennifer flowers anymore because the cat will tear them to shreds. So we can't get flowers. Yeah. Cat sort of ruined that.
Well, that's probably good
on the
for
cat.
You. Jennifer, blame it on the cat. I mean, you can't train a cat. You can't get a squirt bottle out, Glenn, and, like, squirt her when
you squirt that cat all day, and he comes back for more. Just thinks it's a game.
Nice.
Jennifer, what's on today's show?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, it's all happy, happy, and wonderful, because neither of our hosts is iced in or shivering under a quilt because their power has been out for 72 hours.
Yeah.
And continuing on the Life is Wonderful vein, we will be hearing from Eric Johnson of Smooth Ride Riding Jeans on how things went with their Kickstarter campaign. And in the middle of the show, Seabiscuit is making headlines again, this time of a historical nature, and we'll be hearing from June Donaldson about that. And in the home stretch for the weekend, Really Bad Ads takes the prize. So stay tuned for the Frey folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. And... my Daily Winnie goes out to a friend of the show, been on several times. His name you will recognize is Larry Kalmus. He is one of our favorite race call announcers in the racing world, and he just got a new gig yesterday, or actually this week. It was announced that Churchill Downs Racetrack, where the Kentucky Derby is held there in Louisville, will be hiring him as their premier race caller for their meet. He was previously at Monmouth Park in New Jersey and will now move to Kentucky to take over the spot there. And he will be, now, this is going to sound funny to some people because you're going to think he did it anyway, but he will be calling the races for the Kentucky Derby. You're going to say he did that last year. He did that last year for TV. He was not the track announcer. So this year, apparently, NBC is going to keep him. He will be doing both this year. The track announcing.
Oh, good.
Yep. So, yeah. So don't worry. You're still going to have him on NBC. You know, that got confusing for me, and then I read the article a little closer. I didn't realize there was a separation there. So, but yeah, he's very excited. What other gig do you want, Churchill Downs or Santa Anita, right? You want one of those two.
Yeah, you know, you do, and I wish that he was the track announcer for Santa Anita, because it's like a British guy that does Santa Anita, and he's really boring. Like, if you hear, we replay any of the races, and they come out of the gates, and he's like, and away they go. And now they're galloping down the track, and now there's one in the front, and now there's the second one, and here comes the third one around the bend.
Get emotional.
It's so, yes, exactly, and away they go. See, Lukey, you didn't like it either, did you? See, Dad's
maybe
on
Luke's
his way to come
be a
get
race
the baby.
Announcer. Maybe Luke's calling the race. I can hear it now.
I think that would be fantastic. Sure, whatever you want to do, buddy, we'll support you. Hey, so congratulations to Larry Kalmus, friend of the show, I must say, and we are very happy for him. Speaking of Santa Anita, yesterday one of our friends ran, and I quickly logged on to the Blood Horse to see what happened and wait for their article and their coverage, and they kind of put two races in one in the coverage, and the title is Bayern Roms Ebluisante Flops. And, of course, Ebluisant is Zanata's sister, same mama by Bernardini. And, you know, we've covered her for a couple years now. She hasn't raced in 7 months, okay? And it said she flops. And I was like, oh, no. And I read the article. She came in second by a length and a half. So, to me, I'm sorry. That is not flopping. And I started reading all the comments. People are like, how can you say she flopped? She hasn't raced in 7 months. Hasn't raced in California in a year. If it was any other horse, she'd be praising her efforts, considering the layoffs, blah, blah, blah. And it's very, very true. All the comments are very defensive for Ebluisant. But reading the article, I started to realize she came in second. Zenyatta's sister came in second place. Glenn, for the win, can you tell me who her jockey might have been?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
You got it.
Not
Mike.
Not Mike
Smith.
Smith.
When are they going to learn? You do not put Mike Smith on anybody that is related to Zenyatta because he will finish in second. I am so pissed. Apparently, she came out of the gate really strong, was rolling. He had to kind of, like, slow her down and ask for that kick at the end. She didn't have the kick Zenyatta has.
Yeah.
We have the last half of the race. I have not heard this race yet, and Jennifer managed to get the last half off. You want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, please.
Okay, let's hear it. I haven't heard it yet. See if we got it here.
Don't
trying to
on.
Play it now. Yep, I see it. I'm hitting play,
three
but nothing
minutes
happened.
Until showtime.
Oh, nope. Sorry, didn't get the race.
Oh, no.
Looks like we didn't get it.
I think it's there. I think that we just had a long trailer before, and I couldn't edit it before I put it up.
Oh, okay. So in like two minutes, it's going to start?
Well, it's a 50-second piece, and there's only 30 seconds of race. So there's, you know, approximately 15 or 20 seconds of dead before it starts.
Okay, well, we'll just keep talking.
That's what
if
happens
it starts, we'll
you
get
don't
caught
edit.
That's what happens when you don't send it to Glenn in time, which is we couldn't find it. This race is nowhere to be found. Even on the Blood Horse, it has a link to the video of the race, and there's no race on it. And I swear it's because Zenyatta's people pulled it down. They're like, don't let anybody see Mike Smith ride this horse again. I mean, really, let's stop the
match. I had to sign up and get a note from my grandmother to get that.
You know, yeah. I realize Mike does well, but maybe he just doesn't do well on mares. Maybe mares are his problem.
You know, he did fine for, like, most all of Zenyatta's races. And I was happy. Okay, you have to
apparently Luke was, too.
once he got cocky, now it's over. Once he got cocky, we're done. And I know you like to say that just in case he's listening or he's going to call into the show, but it's not going to happen, Glenn. You can rip him all you want.
No,
he's not listening.
No. He'll be calling right. He'll be calling the same day that Carrie Underwood does.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And I'm sure that he would love to be a part of talking to me. I'm sure I would be his favorite.
Well, we have a couple of things that we're going to get to right away here today. Of course, we have a guest coming up in a couple of minutes. But before we get to that, I just wanted to remind everybody that next week's Equity Celebrity Trivia is Templeton Thompson, and she is going to provide a signed CD. And we also are working on some other prizes for next week. So if you haven't signed up yet to play trivia, go to our website at horsesinthemorning.com, big banner in the middle of the page. Click on it. It's really easy, just like four questions, and you're signed up. We'll pick a contestant on Monday, and then we send you an email to find out if you're free. If you're not, then we'll just wait and pick you another day. So hopefully we can find somebody fun who wants to play Templeton Thompson next week, and she's all excited about it, except she said you're not allowed to ask her any hard questions. So we have to make sure
Jennifer I'm getting sick of these celebrities telling us what we can and can't do. I mean, my gosh, they all pretty much know everything anyway. Ridiculous.
Yeah, look at that. We've had two ties so far. I think we need to make the questions harder because they're just getting them all.
I like the success of our listeners. I like Dawn Deems this past week was so awesome because she knew all these horse racing questions, and I think that most of us thought we were going to stump her, and we did not. She was impressive.
Yeah, she did. She did a good job, and Dean did too. Of course, we asked the questions that if he hadn't known the answer to, he was going to get in trouble by someone. So
yeah, what horse won the Kentucky Derby the year your horse ran in the Kentucky Derby? I mean, really?
Derby like, lost. No.
But it was great.
Maybe you
want to
put that out of your mind. Maybe that's something you just want to forget, you know?
I think just to be at the Kentucky Derby, I don't think you want to forget anything. Your horse could run backwards the whole time, and you'd still be like, I was at the Derby.
Speaking of which, do we have an update, Jennifer, on the 50-1 movie? Do we have any update on that?
They are getting ready to gear up for their cross-country bus tour promoting the movie, and what they're going to do is kind of follow where it's playing across the country on a bus tour with a number of the people that were involved with making it. I contacted them about coming on the show to chit-chat about it, but I haven't gotten a reply just yet. I think they're busily outfitting the bus, buying a lot of bagels and probably beer.
Yeah, well, it's Mind That Bird. They're buying chips and beer.
That's
definitely what they're buying.
Beer
well,
pretzels.
That's good. Well, I think it starts in March, so we'll keep everybody informed. That's the movie about Mind That Bird called 50-1 that we had them on a little while ago. Well, we did have, what was it, last week or the week before, we highlighted, we'd like to take a look at Kickstarter campaigns and, you know, check some of them out, the ones that we think are interesting. And there was a Kickstarter campaign that we brought them on to talk about it, and it was called Kick in the Pants by Smooth Stride. If you remember right, it was the jeans, the riding jeans, and they were trying to raise $30,000 to get the production of these riding jeans going. And you know, we had fun talking to them about that. Well, we have a report here. Eric Johnson is joining us this morning. He was kind enough to call in, and I think Eric, good morning. You're West Coast, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
well,
sorry,
thank
bud.
You for getting up so early. We appreciate it. Well,
I have my coffee.
Oh,
thank
good.
You for
That's
having
good.
Us on. Good morning and happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Well, thank Aww. You. We appreciate you being here. And he's not allowed to talk anymore because he has a great radio voice and he's making me look bad. So can we do this interview
early
without
morning.
You saying anything?
It's gravelly, it's coffee-laden, it's sexy. It's Valentine's Day. We all need it. If I could send you something to read, would you just read it real slow over the air? Okay.
Are you on the speaker, though, Eric?
Yes, I'll take that off.
Hey, yeah, can you take that off? That's it's always better.
There we go.
That's much better. Good. Now people can hear your sexy voice. All right, Eric, we weren't calling to talk about your voice. You were calling in to give us a report on how your Kickstarter campaign did and what the results were.
The campaign closed just after midnight last night, and we made our goal, 110%,
Yay!
And we're just as pleased can be. So I wanted to call in this morning and thank you for having us on and for your listeners who pledged. That's hard to tell where the pledges come from, but you can kind of watch the needle, and it certainly moved in the day after Desiree was on your show. So we
wow.
wanted to thank the Horses in the Morning folks and all of your listeners very much.
Well, thank you to the listeners for helping support this. Obviously, there was a need in the market for this product, and you know that there's two things there. One, you know, getting the word out, but also there has to be a legitimate need. We've highlighted other products that haven't done so well because I just don't think there was a need. But so you're filling something that people want.
Yeah, I think there's really a niche at the intersection of jeans and breeches. Yes,
holy crap,
I think there's something
looked.
There.
Jamie, I
Sorry?
Just looked. There's 268 backers for $33,000.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, we're grinning.
That's awesome.
That you are.
So
now,
did you
else
see...
Cool happened. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead. I was going to say, did you see a bump after the show? Did we help at all? Did what
yes,
was most
yes,
of the money already
what,
there?
That's what I was saying. I it's hard to tell where the backers are coming from, but we did see activity right after the show and in the day, you know, and that show day. Some days were really slow. In fact, for a long time in the middle, we didn't think that we were going to make it. It's apparently natural for these things to kind of do a bathtub curve, a fast start and then a long, slow, painful middle and then a big surge at the end, and that sure happened with this one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So when you have a Kickstarter, let's paint the picture. Are you sitting in front of your computer like, come on, baby, come on, baby. Mama needs some new jeans. Come on, baby. Like, are you just kind of checking it throughout the day?
No, you're
Be
sitting
honest.
In front of your computer trying to figure out where else can I share this thing or publicize this thing. But there are... The social media reach is key to this thing, and I think that's one of the reasons that it's generally more, it seems to be more difficult. I think you mentioned this last time, Glenn, that horse-related things often don't do very well with crowdfunding. And I'm suspicious that part of that is because the social media people that you would normally reach with a Kickstarter campaign, our folks are all down at the barn.
Or broke.
Yeah. Or broke.
Or broke, yeah.
Now, something neat happened, too. Tell us about what happened with one of our listeners. And I understand this person wants to remain anonymous, and that's fine. But tell us what happened and now what the next step is.
Absolutely. Thanks. That's the main reason I wanted to call in this morning, was to thank one of your listeners in particular. This is just a great story. So the I'll try to keep it short. The Julie Goodnight had been wearing this, our Smooth Stride jeans for years, long before Desiree and I bought the company. And liked them, got lots of comments on them. And a short story, we got in touch with Julie when we discovered that she was wearing the jeans. And she eventually donated a spot in her 2014 clinic tour for one of our rewards on the Kickstarter program. Wonderful and generous.
Wow.
And great.
Awesome.
Lady. Yeah. Now, it gets better. The several days in, somebody snapped that reward up. And because of their schedule, we wanted to get in touch with the person who got that, who signed up for that reward. It was a $700 reward and included pants and coffee cup and hat and all of that, too. And we wanted to get in touch with them so that we could help the Goodnight folks select the, know which clinic she had in mind to kind of pencil in a slot in case we made the goal. Because, of course, we didn't make the goal. Everything goes away. Nothing counts. So when we got in touch with the gal and said, which clinic did you have in mind, let me quote here. She said, via email, there isn't any possible way that I can attend any of Julie's clinics this year. But if there's a promising young rider whose family can't afford a spot, I'd love to pass this along to that young person. You know the type, the kids that muck, clean tack, and beg to catch a ride.
Wow,
isn't that something?
That's so cool.
That's
awesome.
She took
one transaction and turned it into two acts of kindness and generosity.
That's
amazing.
Terrific.
Well, kind of blew
whoever
us away.
That is, our listener that did that, you get major Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning Good Karma sending out to you, and big hugs, and thank you so much for doing that. And the thing is, this person won't even tell us who they are, which frustrates me because I want to go thank them, and I can't because they won't let us know who they are. Anyway, thank you very much, heartfelt, and we all know those kids, and most of us were those kids, so it's like very special to me to
actually,
even hear
Jamie,
that.
Actually, Jamie, I got in touch with her yesterday, and she did give us permission to use her name. She's a regular listener. Every day she's even called in and talked to you all. Her name is Anita.
Oh. Anita! Thanks, Anita.
Yay, Anita.
You are the best. Anita, that's
good
fantastic.
Job.
Wow.
So let me go ahead and describe if anybody's ears.
Anita gets this. She had to get the cheering. Okay, go ahead.
Absolutely.
Yes. So
let me go ahead and describe if anybody's ears pricked up about how do you nominate a young person for this slot. The Goodnight folks are running the are making the selection, and they've opened a nomination process, and they'll select the lucky recipient. You can find her 2014 clinic schedule on her website, juliegoodnight.com/clinics. And then to nominate somebody, tell Julie why your nominee deserves the slot, and you can email that to press@juliegoodnight.com. or add it as a comment to her Facebook post that announced this, and that's too long to read. Shall I just email it to you?
We have it, actually, and we will post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning as well. So this is cool that they're opening it up and letting people, you know, from around the country really nominate people they think are deserving of this. Again, Anita, you know, you started something here and look at the kindness it's turned into. I think that's really neat.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And
I think
will
a
say
lot of the motivation
too,
for...
I wanted to mention real quick, sorry about that, Eric, that I wanted to mention real quick that Julie Goodnight will be on our show Tuesday morning of next week for the Certified Horsemanship special that we have on the third Tuesday of the month, and she will be one of the guests at 10 a.m., so she'll be here on next week.
Right.
So
motivations for folks in this crowdfunding business, they get the rewards, but I think there's also a sense of altruism and helping out that often motivates folks to participate in these Kickstarter things. But Anita took it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Eric. We appreciate you joining us today, and thank you to all of the listeners who helped to get them out there, and hopefully you can get in production. Let us know when the jeans are available to the general public as well, because I think Jennifer will be buying a pair because she loves riding in jeans. So there you go.
Shall do.
Let us know. All right. Thanks
very
Eric.
Much, y'all. Take care.
Thanks. And thanks, Anita, wherever you are. Virtual hugs, good karma, all those things.
How cool is that? It's nice to know that somebody listens, one, and two, that they believe us. So that's even better.
You know, it's one of those things, like, I want to be 12 years old again, because to have that experience to go and of course, I looked at Julie Goodnight's clinic to pray that she was in our area just so I could at least go. Nothing in Phoenix. Darn it.
No.
She's
not
close.
Too far from you. She's in Colorado. That's where she lives. And she's based
out of Colorado. Yeah, she's doing a lot of the tours on the East Coast. So you East Coasters that are snowed in right now, you can sign up for this clinic and then have something to look forward to.
Yeah, there was my sister-in-law has been to Julie Goodnight Clinic. She absolutely loves Julie Goodnight's clinics, and I've seen a couple of hers. And of course, she's been a regular guest on the show since we started the network. So we appreciate her. She's really, really good at when she comes on the shows, you know, getting to the meat of it and really talking about things that help riders. So we like that about her. Good job, everybody. We appreciate your support and your help with all of that. Well, let's take a break for our commercial. We'll come back. We'll have a little bit of news for you, and then our next guest should be ready to go in just a few minutes. But first, we have to hear from Kentucky Performance Products.
Joint Armor from KPP provides your horse with the building blocks necessary to maintain healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with the confidence that you are purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Joint Armor is concentrated and affordable. One jar lasts a whole 75 days. Joint Armor helps maintain fluid motion and flexibility in your horse's joints. It also supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Learn more about Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products and all their other terrific products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com.
Just a note on the Joint Armor. You did say in the commercial that one tub lasts 75 days, and these tubs are tiny, but the scoops are even tinier. And if you have a horse that doesn't like to eat joint supplements or doesn't like to eat any sort of supplements, they don't know it's in there. It's amazing. It's so tiny, and it's so potent and so powerful, and it works incredibly well. So Joint Armor is a great joint supplement. And again, for the finicky horse, I don't even know it's there. It's so tiny. Sorry, Glenn. I didn't mean to jump in.
Hey, that's okay. You're allowed to say good things about our sponsors. We like that. And, you know, I have to thank Kentucky Performance Products also, because they are the title sponsor of our coverage at Road to the Horse. So we appreciate them being involved in that, too, over in Lexington, Kentucky, because they're located right near there. Hey, a little love out to our Canadian listeners. The Hickstead Award was announced, and Big Ben was honored as this year's Hickstead Trophy Award winner. in Canada. Big Ben, of course, was iconic, ridden by Ian Miller. He remains really a household name up there in Canada in the horse world. He was a liver, chestnut, Belgian warm blood gelding. He was ridden by Ian. He was foaled in 1976. His dam, get this, was 15 hands tall, but Big Ben grew to 17.3. So he was one huge horse. That's the name Big Ben. There were a lot of people that back in that day, you got to remember, big warm bloods were not the norm. You know, you were not jumping with 17 and a half hand horse in jumper classes. You were on 16 hand horses in jumper classes back then. So when this monstrosity came along, and he was a huge horse. When you see pictures of him, he was a huge horse. And he did so well. Big Ben and Miller went on to become the first ever horse-rider combination to win two consecutive World Cup final titles in 88 and 89. He also was Miller's mount for three Olympic Games in 84, 88, and 92, and he took home both individual and team gold medals from the 87 Pan American Games. He was quite a horse. He went on to retire, and he passed on at the age of 18. He had actually three colics that turned out to be the last one they could not treat. So he actually died of colic at the age of 18. I wish he would have had longer to enjoy the pastures after retirement because he was quite a horse.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. Well, hey, do we have our guests or do we have some time to kill?
Yeah, one more. Why don't you do one more story?
Well, I was just, I was listening to this story about Ian Miller and Big Ben and what an amazing horse that was. And it just the fact that it doesn't matter how big and how famous and how awesome you are. Colic it affects everybody. It affects every horse. It doesn't matter how big and tough you are and how famous you are and how incredibly great you are at being an Olympic jumper. Colic just, it affects everybody. And I was just going to, hopefully Jennifer is able to listen a little bit here. I was just going to go over my unbelievable frustration. You know, Glenn, I have Jet in the backyard, and Jet was my horse that I took all the way up through training level eventing, and then he kind of got sick, and he colicked a bunch, and then he's lost a lot of weight, and he's on all sorts of different medications, and I'm just really frustrated because I've started riding him again, and it is where I had him going so well. All of a sudden, I've started riding him again, and it's like I've never ridden him before. I rode him. I've been lunging him every day, trying to get him fit, and then yesterday I rode him, and he tried to buck me off like 15 times. Like, I don't understand. When is this horse going to be broke? I understand I'm starting you back, but it's like I've started him from scratch. Jennifer, what do I do? I'm so frustrated. I'm to the point where I'm like, you make it very tough for me to love you. Very tough. Like, I'm turning off. He's trying to bite me. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what it is? He recognizes unconditional love, so you are SOL.
I am really wearing thin on the unconditional part.
Those bad boy boyfriends you had before you met your lovely husband, you've got another one.
Yep.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating, and you're right. And I think, like I said, Jennifer, the unconditional is wearing incredibly thin. But, Chad's like, well, what can we do with him? I'm like, well, you can't sell him. And who's going to tolerate this? I would sell him, and then they would sell him, and then they would sell him, and they would sell him, and he'd end up at the auction on Saturday morning.
You do need to write the Craigslist ad for him because it would be very funny. Make it brutally honest. I want to see that next week.
Yeah. Ouch. That would be ugly. But I'll do it. I'll make that my homework till next Friday, and I'll write the ad, and I'll just submit it, and maybe you won't know it's him. Oh, you'll know. There's no way that you will not know that this is him. Good God. But, yeah, I don't know what to do with him. So if anybody has any words of advice, like even Chad said, if you get him fit, what are you going to do? He's no fun to compete. He tries to buck it. The whole entire time, I was always that girl in the warm-up. It's not like it was ever super easy or fun. It wasn't like, oh, he's broke now. Woohoo, this is fun. It was always like, oh, dear God, please don't fuck me off in warm-up. You know, like that. And so he's like, I don't want you to compete if it's not fun. I'm like, well, it hasn't been fun, but it was a challenge. Yeah, so I don't know. If anybody has any advice for me, please email me at jamie@horseradionetwork.com because I am at my wit's end. I don't understand why I can't even – I had to get off of him and lunge him yesterday. I'm like, and I'm telling Chad, I'm like, this is not the exercise that I had in mind for the end of the day. This is not like releasing the stress, you know. When you have a child, you can't get out of the house, the husband comes home from work, I'm like, great, I got half an hour to get exercise and tack up and ride, and I get tacked up, and I get on the horse, and he tries to kill me. God. Sorry. Okay,
and you know what I think, too? I know you're not going to like this, but what I think, too, is – I think you're noticing it a little more now and a little more sensitive to it now that you have your own baby, now that you're a mama. I think you're noticing it a little bit.
I noticed it before, though, and it just – I just,
you did, but your attitude was a little – your attitude was a little different about it. It really
maybe.
Was. Because we lived through it with you, remember? So,
I know you did. I bless your heart. I don't know how you did. I would have fired me.
Well, let's go to our next guest.
Yes. Sorry. I'm still reeling. I would like to welcome our next guest, and I'm sorry that you had to hear that, Dr. June Donaldson from the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation. You know, Seabiscuit didn't come without his problems.
That's right. That's right. Our dear Seabiscuit.
Bless his heart. He wanted a little more money than my horse did, though. Now, talk to us a little bit about yourself, Doc. I'd like to welcome Dr. Donaldson, and tell us what the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation is.
Okay. And first of all, call me June. And
okay, June.
It's my pleasure to talk about the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation. The foundation's mission is to protect the cultural legacy of Seabiscuit. And how do we do that? We do that in two ways, by preserving the historical buildings that are at the Ridgewood Ranch, where Seabiscuit retired and where he is buried, and through environmental conservation. That's the bottom line. And the foundation is so excited about the things that have happened recently, and of course, you know about the Seabiscuit Stud Barn being declared a U.S. historic site.
We just did that story, and it was very exciting. You're right, and I can't even imagine getting being involved in that, how unbelievably proud you guys must be.
Oh, listen, you know, when we got the news, and let me give a shout-out to Jacqueline Cooper, who's the president of the foundation. Jacqueline was on this right from the beginning, dotting those I's, crossing those T's, walking that application through the process. Colonel Michael Howard, who's the great-grandson of Charles Howard, was also very involved. And when that news, I mean, it brought me to tears that, 75, 80 years, well, 81 years after this horse was born, we are still talking about this horse. I mean, how many of us are going to be spoken about 81 years, you know, from when we are born, right? Like, it's just a wonderful story, Jennifer, and thank you for your interest in it.
Absolutely, and you can call me Jamie. Jennifer's is the producer.
Oh, okay.
No,
oh, sorry, Jamie, sure.
It's okay. So just so you know, we love Seabiscuit. We love the story and the whole thing. But how much of this was given a boost by Jennifer Hillebrand's movie or book and in the movie?
Oh,
Laura Hillebrand
absolutely reminded horse fans around the world of who Seabiscuit was, who Red Pollard, George Wolfe, Charles and Marcella Howard, Tom Smith, who they all were, because they were all so unique. And, you know, when they first came together, all of them were down on their luck. right? They were all struggling to find their place. And, you know, Jacqueline and I have talked many times, and, you know, I've said to her, you know, really when you think about it, Seabiscuit and Red Pollard were bullied. You know, I mean, Seabiscuit was laughed at because of his looks, the length of his tail, his gait, his name, right? Red Pollard, as a young man, was basically abandoned at a racetrack in Montana. And, you know, you just look at the whole story behind all of these characters and what they did at the end of the day. You know, when the people started believing in them, they stepped up. It's just, I think it's a story, Jamie, that should be taught in kindergarten.
Right, right. And I agree with you. And I love to hear the passion in your voice. Just last weekend, I was at Santa Anita Racetrack for the first time. And just I was telling Glenn, I was saying, I'm like, there's no place like it on earth. Not only do you walk in and now you see the Zenyatta statue, but you go to the paddock and there is a Seabiscuit in the middle of the whole thing, watching over every horse before every race, and to see, you know, the statue of George Wolfe, and to just be a part of it, and to have seen the movie, and to read Laura's book, to be a part of that, it makes tears well up in your eyes, honestly.
Don't talk to me about it. I can cry at the drop of a hat. I mean, when I read in Laura's book, right, when Seabiscuit and Pollard are into that final race, I mean, at March 2nd, 1940, I mean, next year it's going to be 75 years, that race was run. And here's Seabiscuit at 7 years of age, you know, Pollard, who's been, you know, brutalized, you know, through his racing days, and they go out and they win that $100,000 handicap in 1940. I mean, the significance of that, and of course, right at the end of the Depression, where so many people, you know, really just, they needed hope, and they needed someone and something to believe in, and like Pollard and Seabiscuit delivered big time. They just, listen, yes, that, when I read about that final race in Laura's book, and, you know, when Seabiscuit is pulled back a little bit to look his rival in the eye, and then Pollard says, you know, now, Pop, like, and he just bolts and wins that race. I mean, if you're not touched by the Seabiscuit story, you don't have a heart.
Yeah, you know, I don't know anybody who wasn't touched by it. And for those who saw the movie but haven't read the book, you have to read Laura's book because it gives you such a better idea of what Red Pollard went through and what was going on in the Depression at that time. It's so hard for us to imagine not having a grocery store to go to. And people were standing in lines for bread and water. I mean, that's how bad it was. I mean, people were dying in the streets because there was no food or no place for them to go, no shelter, and it's freezing. And to have her paint that picture for us, and then to know that, you know, this was real. This is not just a story. And to have what emerges out of the whole thing, like a phoenix rising, was this horse. And as horse people, you know, we love a good story like that. But to see that what picked everybody up was a horse.
I know. And for Seabiscuit, listen, Jamie, I know. And so I'm sure with Ocala, I mean, being the horse capital of the world, I would bet that all of your listeners have either, you know, seen the movie or read the book or done both. But you're right. Back to getting the word out to a younger audience, because there are so many lessons in the Seabiscuit story. I mean, it's a story about being down on your luck, being bullied, being underestimated, being unsupported. And then that ray of hope, that little ray of sunshine comes along and there's a break, and in a short period of time, I mean, basically the whole Seabiscuit story really happened in about a four-year time frame, because for the first 3 years of Seabiscuit's life, I mean, he was underestimated and thought of as lazy and, you know, right, put in a brutal number of races and cajoled and harassed to run. But, you know, again, he didn't come in to who he was until Tom Smith got involved and, right, you know, put the team together to really bring out the best in this horse. And, you know, when Seabiscuit had somebody start to believe in him, like I say, he delivered.
Right. Now, let's talk about SeabiscuitHeritage.org. I have a question, because I wasn't quite sure if I read this correctly later, but in the movie, you know, Charles Howard's son passes away, and actually he went on to build the hospital in the hometown in his honor,
yes,
and named it. But Charles Howard had other kids, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. He had three other boys, and, you know, they went on to various careers, but it was certainly the loss of Frank Howard that,
right,
was just a heartbreaker, you know, for Mr. Howard. And in fact, on the note of the hospital, like, plans are underway and activity is underway right now to build a new hospital in Willits. I mean, that hospital has a great presence and serves the Mendocino County in very far-reaching ways.
Right, right. So what exactly are you guys, I mean, how do you move forward? Seabiscuit Stud Barn has now become a U.S. National Historic Site. This is the same place where Seabiscuit is buried, correct?
Yes, Seabiscuit is buried at the Ridgewood Ranch, right? And the site, okay, is not known. Charles Howard wanted that kept as private information for the family. And that's understandable because, I mean, Seabiscuit wasn't owned by a syndicate or a group of people. Seabiscuit was owned by Marcella Howard. And,
right,
but of course, Charles Howard had the most visibility around the horse. And so, you know, what are we doing now to kind of move foundation activity forward? Well, one of the things that your listeners might be interested in is we recently launched a fundraising campaign, and it's really fun. We have three levels of contribution, and we basically, you know, talk about the fundraising campaign as the winner's circle. So we have the a match race contribution level and a triple crown contribution level, and then an American legend contribution level. And when people make a contribution, pardon me, I'm just going to cough for a moment.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that. When people make a contribution, they receive various gifts, and these gifts range from, this is one of the great gifts, a digitized copy of the cover of the match race program from the Seabiscuit War Admiral race that took place,
wow,
at Pimlico in 1938. I mean,
wow,
how cool is that? Right?
That's really cool.
That's really cool. Nora Pollard, Red Pollard's daughter, wrote,
mm-hmm,
a beautiful, beautiful poem in her book, Leaning In, about her dad, and she has personalized it and allowed us to to give that to people who make contributions. Beloved Santa Anita that you just mentioned, and you're quite right, it's a stunning facility. They contributed clubhouse tickets that we give out to contributors. The piece de resistance, though, is Colonel Howard, who is the great-grandson of Charles Howard. He has an oil painting that was commissioned by Marcella Howard, and it was her favorite picture of Seabiscuit, and he has allowed us to make digital prints of that oil painting and give that print to people who make a contribution of $500 or more. So
wow.
Someone who, say, makes a donation of $500 would get that print, the Santa Anita Clubhouse pictures, the Nora Pollard poem, tickets to tour the Ridgewood Ranch, the Pimlico program, and a beautiful certificate making them a member of the foundation.
Wow, that's great. And you can find all of this on seabiscuitheritage.org, and they do tours and film.
Oh.
You can view memorabilia and film footage. And again, you can find all of that at seabiscuitheritage.org.
Absolutely. And if anyone has specific questions that I can help them with, just send me an email at jd@drjunedonaldson.com, and that's the short form doctor, and I would be more than happy to share
Great.
Anything Seabiscuit related with them.
Oh, I could just talk to you forever, and we could, you and I could do a nice little wine tour up there in wine country, see the ranch, and then go drink some wine.
And then we could go and hug a horse, and that's what I think everybody should do, seeing it's Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. Amen, sister. Well, June, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I hope we get to talk to you again very soon.
Thank you so much for your interest in the Seabiscuit Heritage Foundation.
Again, have a great day. Happy Valentine's Day. Hug a horse.
Well, that was interesting, and, you know, it makes me want to go see the movie again. Makes me want to, you know,
crank it up. I was just
thinking
that, like, Valentine's Day, I get to watch whatever I want on TV. I'm watching Seabiscuit again. I have it on DVD. It's like, you know.
I don't know that we've watched it since we saw it originally, so it might be time. Hey, if you're looking for something to do and you're in the area of Vegas, you could go see the most expensive show in Vegas today, Valentine's Day. Now I'm going to give you a couple names, and you tell me which one you think is the most expensive, okay?
Okay.
We have Justin Timberlake there. Mark Anthony's there. Of course, all the Cirque du Soleil's are there. You have Britney Spears there in Vegas this today, and Shania Twain, and you have Tim McGraw and Faith Hill. So who do you think is the most expensive of that group?
Oh, let's see. Out of all those, I would really like to go see Shania and Justin. So I'm going to go with Justin.
Nope. Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, the tickets are averaging $350 each if you want to go take your sweetie. I know. If you want to go take him to a show today.
You know what happens when you mention certain country music artists that I really like, right?
What?
Don't take the girl, Johnny's daddy was taking a fish.
Sorry, I forgot about that part.
He was 8 years old, because I like it. I love it.
All right, it's time for a real song now. Valentine's Day. We'll put Jamie on mute. And I thought because it was Valentine's Day, we'd do a little Love is a Rose right after this word from Equestrian Collection. Hi, Glenn here from the Horse Radio Network, and I'm back with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I'm going to be featuring the Micklem Bridle. It comes in two types, the Micklem Competition and the Malty Bridle. The Competition Bridle is the one I'm going to mostly talk about today. You can use it in showing, but the main thing I want to talk about is the very equine-friendly bridle. The entire design is put together for the horse's benefit and comfort. The top of the bridle, the pole area, is it's wider, and it's designed to take pressure off the pole. It's a little bit lower on the cheeks, so it takes the pressure off of the that area right underneath the eyes where the some of the nerve points come out. And it also is like a crank nose band, but it's not so low, so you don't actually, you know, a lot of times when you crank down a nose band, you there's some nerves down there that your horse's muzzle completely gets numb, and
yep.
you can almost always tell that when you take your bridle off. If your horse is scratching his nose on his leg, it's because he's just now getting feeling back into his nose. It also will protect the little pointy, I'm sure all of your listeners have seen skulls, horse skulls, the little fragile nose bones, the little pointy ones at the top, it protects those. And it's you can also use it without the bit, or you can use it with the bit. So it's very, very multi-use. The competition one is approved. It also now comes in black. So that's made a whole new life for Micklem's been around a while, but it's a whole new life for these because now it comes in black, so you can use it on your with your black dressage tack. The multi-purpose one has a little ring for so you can lunge. So there's a lot of different things you can use with this bridle. It's less than $200, and you get several different types of bridles out of it. And you will really be doing your horse a big favor. When you buy this bridle, it comes with this information packet, a lot of information about how and why to use it. Highly recommend it. Everybody here is getting one.
And I'll tell you what, we had William Micklem on the show on Horses in the Morning last week. It was on January the 4th. We had him on talking about the bridle and why it was so good. He was at the American Equestrian Trade Association show. We got to interview him in person. And then we had him on the following day talking about his breeding program of some of the most famous vent horses in the world. So you can find that all over at horsesinthemorning.com as well. But you can buy the bridle, more importantly, at equestriancollections.com. Just search for Micklem, M-I-C-K-L-E-M, at equestriancollections.com.
Love is a rose. Love is a rose. Hey, love is a rose.
And that was Love is a Rose by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com. Let me take Jane and see if she's still singing. Okay, we're good.
Don't take. Sorry. Okay, Templeton Thompson kind of got me off the Tim McGraw, but if you mention him again, I will sing another song, and it will be beautiful, and you will like it.
I was really glad I had the button handy. Let's put it that way.
I'll say, pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Right, it's time for Really Bad Ads. We do this every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, everybody's favorite time of the week. And it's our favorite time of the week because it means it's our last half hour and we get to go have fun. So now let's find out from Jennifer what
this
the prizes
really
are.
This has been really painful. So you said we get to go have fun, but this has been awful and painful. So I need a change. Please, like, talking about Seabiscuit was pulling teeth to me.
Kind of not what I meant.
I can't stand him.
It's kind of not what I meant. All right. Jennifer, what are the prizes for the listeners who submitted the best Really Bad Ads this week?
On the left-hand side of the prize table from Cantor Lane Design, a poster print and a set of fun and whimsical Farm Talk note cards by Shelley Renee. Cantor Lane Designs offers an interior design service along with a line of home decor items to make your spaces more inspired. Design style that is fresh and eclectic and infused with all things equestrian. From interior barn door hardware to poster prints and gifts for the equestrian, Cantor Lane is your source when it comes to interior spaces for the horse lover. You can visit them online at cantorlane.com. And on the other side of the table from horsegroomingsolutions.com, a grooming tote filled with products valued at over $100. When you need gentle, effective, economical products for your daily or show grooming needs, look no further than the Horse Grooming Solutions brands that you have come to know and love. Healthy Hair Care, voted number one horse health brand by consumers, Silverado Show Grooming, and Old Timers Equine. You can find them all at your local tack and feed suppliers, or you could go online to horsegroomingsolutions.com.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I really didn't look over these too closely except for the first one, and I gave this one to Jamie because I thought, what a better way to start with one of the most difficult ones that we have. Good luck.
That's fun. You know when the title spells gelding and quarter horse wrong. this is how they have it. Three-year-old gilding, G-I-L-D-I-N-G, quater horse, $500. Chelsea, thanks for sending this one in. Thanks for nothing. Appreciate it. All right. What is wrong with people? Like, what is wrong with them? Okay. Just as an aside, I would like you guys to know that recently I was hired to go to somebody's house to try their horse because they want to market it, and they asked me to write the ad. And I was so tempted to write a good Craigslist ad for them, but I didn't. I think they used me to write the ad because they knew I had seen the worst of them. So they actually paid me to write the ad. So it was great. 3-year-old gilding quater horse, $500. I have a 3-year-old gilding quater horse, duple gray, for sale. I've ridden him. He can walk and lope. Very lazy, but has some good speed when is asked or wants to. I don't have papers, but he is registered, has docked. Bar on top side, 2EDED jack in bottom. He loves coays, will make great healing, cutting horse wood, consider trade for working tractor, truck, two trailer Trailer or Trailer with Tack Room or a swap for good broke trained horse, barrel horse, or a 3006 for sale, but considering all offers. What the hell did I just read?
You did a great job reading that, though, I got to say. You're much better at reading them. You're much better at reading exactly what's there, word for word. I tend to want to look ahead and, you know, continue on, and my ADD kicks in. You're so good at reading exactly what's word for word.
That's why I don't read them ahead of time, so I can just read it as written, and I feel dumber after reading that one. Like, I'm going to talk to people like that today. I just can't help it.
And by the way, is every Western quarter horse, everyone seemed to have Doc Bar on top. That Doc Bar got around. Every single one has Doc Bar on top. Everyone.
Except for it's spelled different in this one, Glenn. It's Doc Bar.
Doc Bar was one busy boy, let me tell you what.
And two E-I-E-E-D-E-D, Jack. That's really awesomely spelled.
And I bet you, because you're not really familiar with this world, the 30-06, do you know what that is?
No, I thought that was a typo.
No, it's a gun. A 30-06.
Oh! Oh, it's a 30-06. Okay, I've heard of that,
yeah,
like from the TV shows, but no, I thought 30-06 was so...
No, in fact, they were looking to trade for guns, just like all the rest.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Robin sent the following one in. This was not off of Craigslist, believe it or not. This was an ad. Jennifer, you might have to explain this one because I'm not sure. It was off of Facebook, right? Somebody's Facebook.
It was
page.
From Facebook. Apparently, this person, it's not the first time that this has happened. We'll just leave it at that, and it was on Facebook.
Okay. So this is some lady's post.
Put your heart
Facebook.
Into it, Glenn. It's a great story.
I will. A happy twist to what I thought would be the final chapter of Hammy the Ham. He was gelded yesterday, and the vet explained he may still wander due to his age. I was also told he was partially sedated and would wake up in 1 to 8 hours. 4 hours later, the kids were checking Hammy for me. One little girl told me he had woken up. The next thing I knew, he had uprooted a post and was running down the driveway like a pig out of hell. Two vehicles and three of us on foot could not apprehend him. When we got him heading towards the house, but he took a false turn and headed out the back gate. He traveled over a mile total before running into my neighbor's cow field at full speed. There was nothing I could do to get him back. Hammy, the hallucinating ham, had made what might have been a final flight for freedom. I drove up looking for him today, and he ran sound of my truck, alive. No coyote food, not frozen yet. And not willing to come home, wheezing, I called for help. Nobody could come over right away, but lo and behold, when I got home, he was making his way down the driveway towards the house. The cold front was barreling down more than ever. And Hammy was pretty cooperative in the cold wind. However, at the last minute, he decided to eat grass, if there not had been enough grazing at the neighbor's for 24 hours, and I could not get him in his pen. I had to house the goats for the cold front, and while I tended to them, the dogs started herding Hammy the ham. Soon enough, I arrived at the scene with my most recent rescues, Ginny the Mutt and Grayson the Pyrenees, to help herd Hammy into his pen. Grayson gave a final nudge, and Hammy had returned to civilization before being eaten and before being frozen. Now he is luxuriating in a pig loo stuffed with hay. Anyone want a pig?
I'll tell you what to do with that pig. He's now been castrated. Just let him go. Dear God, if you love something, set it free. If it comes home, it was yours. If it doesn't, it was never meant to be.
Turn him loose, some neighbor will shoot him for digging up the yard, and the problem will
be
over.
Don't we all have
we'll never know.
Don't we have all these people on our Facebook, though? We always have one of these people that explains that they have posts that are 12 miles long, every single one of them, with every detail about their lives. We all have those people on our Facebook.
Yeah, I had those people, but I have blocked them now. These are the kind of people that when they write this crap, I'm like, and I've seen enough. That or you put in, you know, pictures of animals that are dead or some sort of uber religious thing trying to make me feel guilty. Then I just block you. So that's how
I'm glad to see this. I got
to
tell you, though, this is the first post we've had that have made you reconsider eating meat again. Hand me the hand.
Gross. No, definitely not. All right. Who does send in this one? This one wins an award for bizarreness. I really think this is really bizarre. Jennifer, do you have a name for your, like a personal human-like name for your saddle?
I am, no. Sometimes I call it things like you know, expletive, but I've never named my saddle. No.
No, and do you feel like your saddle has a personality?
You know, I think I better call an animal communicator for this one. Maybe there's a saddle communicator out there.
I think so. Okay, here's the ad. Hello, people. Meet Ellie. Ellie is a nice, buttery, soft Eldonian. Ellie has a 17.5-inch seat and a medium tree. Ellie needs an owner that can care for her properly. She currently does not fit her current horse and would love to be given as a Christmas gift with her accessories. Her accessories include a black bridle, a fluffy girth, a black baby pad, and a hackmore. Ellie is selling for $425 shipped. She needs an owner who will take her over fences and go on long trail rides. She gets bored sitting in her owner's house doing nothing. She wants to be riding in. You realize you're talking about a saddle, and unless this person thinks they're very funny, which they're not, then this ad goes under the category of uber bizarre.
It was uber bizarre, I'll give you that. And so, yeah, you got a big butt saddle right there. That's
Hey, 17.5 inches in an English saddle is not a big butt saddle. Thank you very much from the girl who rides in one. Suck it.
Is it? No, wait a minute. Is it? I thought it was a Western saddle.
No,
they want to jump.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. I apologize to all you people.
I'm like, I don't have a big butt.
In a Western saddle would be a big butt. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
I don't know what an Eldonian is either. I don't have any idea. I have the next one. Jennifer, I don't know where this one came from. Andrea sent this one in. Adorable red wagon for large pony or horse has rub brakes and like new tires. Always stored indoors. Matching red nylon harness cob size also available. I don't even know how to describe this. It's a frame of a something that they made a wooden box, and you know what this looks like in the old movies where there was all like from Egypt days. You had the princess who would sit in this box, this wooden box, and all of these slaves would. There was these big poles coming out from it. And all these slaves would carry the princess around in this wooden box. Remember that old Egyptian movie?
I do. And I think you're being too generous. I'm sorry.
Well, it's kind of the idea of the wooden box. Now, inside the wooden box, it's not fancy. And inside the wooden box is a bucket car seat. And it's a one-seater, this particular carriage/contraption. And it's red. I don't know what to say about it. It's bizarre.
So it's some sort of weird, like, milk carton, milk delivery, giant red thing, but there's inside it is a, like, the seat to a Toyota Corolla, and
yes.
There are the four tires that are underneath it are, like, wheelbarrow tires. So it is definitely an interesting piece of of art. Glenn, you can
yes.
buy this. Your pony could pull this.
It's a little too big for him, or I might have considered it just to see the looks I get when I'm driving down the road. People would be crashing their cars. That was funny. Hey, post this one on Facebook, Jennifer, so everybody, and the ad, so everybody can see the wonderfulness of this particular cart. I'll have to post that on the driving radio show, too.
Yeah, you must. You must. That's a driving radio show champion right there. The next one is from Linda. Solid paint. That's one word. Solid paint. Gwelding, 16-year-old, West Jordan, Utah. And gelding is, I assume that's what it is spelled G-U-E-I-L-D-I-N-G. Solid paint. 16 years old, just no punctuation at all, Marvin. 16 years old, just riding in course, soiled paint, loads, trims, call Marvin. Soiled.
It's soiled? Do you think that he could? He doesn't know how to brush it? You know, when they get soiled, you can clean them, Marvin.
I just think, you know how in paints they lay in their urine spot in the stall and they stand up and they've got that big yellow spot on them or the yellow-green-brown
yep.
spot? That's what I think of when I think the soiled paint.
Yeah, soiled paint.
You know something? Maybe he's not a paint at all. Maybe he's just a really light gray and he's soiled paint because that's why he's paint.
You're reaching. You're reaching, Jennifer. It's Marvin. Marvin.
You're giving Marvin too much credit.
And a lot of times I read these and I think, well, maybe English is not their first language and they're from, you know, like from Mexico and they're up here trying to do some business. And then I see the name Marvin. That's not a Hispanic name. It's like,
I wonder too,
Jose, but it's Marvin.
We have a trend today. Two things going on today. We're bizarre land. We're in bizarro world. And second, can't anybody spell gelding? Is it that difficult a word?
No. No, it's not. G-U-E-I-L-D-I-N-G. That's gelding.
That's it. That's
write
how you
that
spell
down.
It.
Yeah.
Denise Sampson sent this one in. Pony for sale. Gus, $350 in Bradley. Is that Arkansas?
Arkansas.
AR. Okay. Pony for sale. Gus is a 5/6-year-old pony. Dog gentle. Can catch him anywhere. Here we go. He's broke to ride enough for a kid to be led around on. And now the second half of the story. He might be bridle broke, but I'm not sure. Didn't she just say he's broke enough to ride around on? But apparently not using a bridle because we're not sure about that. Hasn't been ridden in over a year. Got him for my 2-year-old son, but I got pregnant again and haven't had time to mess with horses. Or you could read it this way. Got him for my 2-year-old son, but I got pregnant again and haven't had time to mess around with the horses. Hate seeing him go to waste. Gus is butterball fat. Has one blue eye. Oh, my God. Has one blue eye, one brown eye in your pocket.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Gus's butterball fat has one blue eye and one brown eye in your pocket. Why is
that
blue eye in your pocket?
Why is the brown eye in your pocket?
<It's gross>. And you know what? For an extra $350, she'll give you the eyes too. Still a stud, but doesn't act it. He is approximately 30. Okay.
It is not. And you do not get a 2-year-old child a stud horse. Okay, I don't care if it is a pony. Do not buy your child a stallion. It is, my head is going to explode. Okay, carry on.
But it's okay because he's butterball fat and he's great with kids, except he's not broke.
That's you've got an eyeball in your pocket. Watch out.
That was great, Denise. I love that one. Oh, and you could just hear the anger in her voice. Got him for her 2-year-old son, but I got pregnant again. Like, she had nothing to do with it. It was all his fault.
Well, what I don't understand is you've had him for a year, and you got him, and your son is 2. So am I to assume that you got your son a stallion at a year old?
Yes,
and when
you are,
say he's in your pocket, that means that he has zero manners. Let's just break that down right now, because if somebody has an ad that says, oh, this horse is in your pocket, that means you have no personal space. There's no bubble. Your horse is a bully. Sorry. This kind of makes me mad. Carry on. Oh, the next one is beautiful. This is
and by the way,
trailer.
Jennifer, mark Denise down. She wins something today because that was terrific. Oh, Rachel sent in the following one. Oh, God. Horse trailer for sale, reduced to $300, right at our price point. Hi, I have an old horse trailer, and that's an understatement, that we need to sell. It's a two-horse, do not use anymore, just sitting for a while now. We use it as a tool holder. Needs tires? Need to sell it. Don't need it. It does need to be fixed up. Need it gone. Does not need title, was homemade. We'll clean out. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Oh, dear God.
I can't even describe this. It has no wheels. Let's start there. It's one of those rounded front things. It looks homemade. It was red at one time. Now only a little bit of it is red. It seems to have a smokestack coming up front.
I was
sure
going to say, is that a smokestack?
Like it's coming out the window.
Oh, I missed that earlier. You're right. It has a smoker inside.
It
and
does.
They say it's a tool holder. I'm sorry. There are no tools being holded in this thing. There are tree branches, and there's shovel crap and pieces of things, and I don't even know what that white stuff is in the bottom. I don't know. This is a nightmare. But apparently they gone. They need to get rid of it. They need tires, and they need to sell it, and it needs to be fixed up, and they need it gone. And you don't need a title.
Oh, by the way, I have a question. If it's homemade, you don't need a title? So
you
I can rent a car and I don't need a title?
I was just wondering that myself because I've got a trailer out back that I can't get registered, and maybe I should just say that I made it.
There you go. You'll be fine. You can drive it around all you want.
Fine. They want $300
for this piece of crap.
Yeah. I'll give you $300 to haul it away. That's what they should say. Martha sent in the next one. This is all different lines. This is like the longest Craigslist ad because like four words and then somebody hit enter. And then they typed in like three words and hit enter. And then two words and then hit enter. It's a poem. You're exactly right. This is a haiku. All right. Fold. There's the title. It's just go straight into it. Fold March 5th, 1999. Out of Idol Princess. Enter. Registered name dealing with the idol. Enter. Has raced as a three-year-old. Enter. Won some races. Enter. Baron. Enter. 16 hands. Enter. Dark Bay with white star. Enter. Healthy and sound. Enter. No old injuries. Enter. No bad habits. Enter. Broke to ride. No buck, bolt, or rear. And that's R-E-A-R. Wait, that's weird. Enter.
Has no rear?
Has no hind end. Enter.
That's why I can't buck.
Yeah, can't buck. Enter. Love this horse. Enter. Has kind eyes. Enter. Up to date on warming. Enter. Just had his teeth flooded. Enter. Really good. Enter. First one to greet you. Enter. Would make a nice barrel horse. Enter. Just a trail horse. Enter. Flows well in cross ties. Enter. Price, $500. Enter. Would love to keep him, but with the three babies from, enter. Last year, I have my work cut out for me. Thank you. Thank you. I need this.
If we were charging by the line, you could have gotten a lot more for this horse.
I felt like I was reading at some point, like some, what's that, dirty novel that they're making a movie out of?
Yes.
Love this horse. Enter. Has kind eyes. Enter. I don't know. That was great. Okay. I like that one, Martha. Good job.
Tammy sent in this one. Short, sweet. Looking for mini pony 66 Chevy truck parts to trade. I have Chevy truck parts 66, also tools and other things. Call. Pretty
well,
short.
I would
sweet.
Like for them to call Gus, Gus's owners, because he is dog gentle and in your pocket. We'll probably trade truck parts.
I'm sure they'd be happy to, Gus's owner. Yep.
I know, right? Rachel sent in this one, and short and sweet as well. I haven't read it. So, bull riding. Right-handed bull rope for sale, only used a dozen times, haven't been riding much over the past year, and have a wedding to plan, so it's time for it to go. Only asking $50, needs stretched to get the twists out of it. Do you think that this person is selling all of their bull riding equipment because they're getting married and their wife won't let them have it anymore or bull ride bulls anymore?
Yeah, I think that's probably the real case here. His wife said, I'm marrying you, but you ain't riding bulls anymore. I'm not going to have you around broken all the time.
Exactly.
By the way, are there right-handed and left-handed ropes?
I would assume. I don't know. I don't ride bulls, nor will I.
What could possibly be different? It's a rope. I don't know. Somebody could explain that to us sometime, too. Obviously, we know a lot about our rodeo. Well, that's it for this week's ads, and I have to say that the Gus, Denise Sampson, is it Sampson or Simpson, Jennifer? Sampson.
Yes.
She definitely wins for Gus. What should we give her? Let's see. Gus, the Stallion, we got Cantor Lane, and we have Horse Grooming Solutions. What should we do?
Let's see here. I think Gus needs to have, he's got eyeballs in pockets. That's a bad thing. Let's go with Cantor Lane.
Okay, Cantor Lane Design, the note cards and everything else that she provides. Shelley Renee has been on our show many times. So thank you there. And then we have Horse Grooming Solutions. Jamie, who do you think?
I got to go with Martha. I liked the haiku style of the ad. It was fun.
Very
no
good.
Rear. It's the horse with no rear.
No rear, and thus it can't buck. That's horsegroomingsolutions.com. That's the tote filled with over $100 worth of products. Thank you, everybody, for submitting your ads. If you want to submit, if you find some that you want to send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy the entire ad and put it in the email. Pictures, words, everything in the ad. That's the only way it's really going to work because the links are gone by the time we get them. So please do that. And thank you so much for joining us this week. It's been a fun week. Happy Valentine's Day, Jamie, and to the little one there.
Oh, thank you. My first Valentine's Day as a mama, so it's very fun. I've already had breakfast made. It's waiting on me right now. So everybody, have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, geld. Please castrate every pony you see. There's no reason. No reason to have
go out the field with a knife.
Or whatever you need. I don't know. Rubber bands, knives, buns.